It's time for the Way Highway on Adobe Radio, brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, with your hosts, Justin Ware and Sean Cowig.
Hey! Welcome, welcome to the Way Highway, Lena Green radio show exploring the wild and wonderful world of weed. A comedic creation of Cannabis Americana, hosted by two THC aficionados, me, Justin Ware.
And me, Sean Cowig. Want to know more about us and the show? Well, you can cyber stalk us right now on the Information Super Way Highway, at The Way Highway on Twitter, at Way Highway on Instagram.
Or you can send us an email. Forward us a cute dog pic.
Yeah.
At wayhighway@adobe.com or visit our website at www.thewayhighway.com. And I have to say, Sean.
Yeah.
So we say Cannabis Americanus at the beginning of this thing, but today we have Cannabis Canadius coming up. We're going to have a fantastic guest in a little bit. Dickie Drysdale is going to be joining us from the Great White North.
Yes, absolutely. Like a rare planetary sighting, because Dickie is only here in Los Angeles at this time every year.
Yeah, so it's like a Brigadoon scenario.
Brigadoon, like a blood moon, like a blood wolf moon.
Or a
what was the super moon?
Super blood moon.
Yeah, there was a crazy moon that just happened.
Okay.
Maybe that could have been like 6.5 months ago.
I don't know. I feel like there's one of those things all the time where like, guys, it's the moon eclipse. It's like, it only happens every, there's like something that happens every 75 years, every 6 months.
Boom. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know, I have to go outside. Did you go out for the eclipse?
No. Because I just forgot.
I did go out for the eclipse, and then there was cloud cover. And I was like, well, this is not going to work.
It's cloudy. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, if it had been cloudy in the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, he would have died. That is a really obscure reference to make there.
I have no idea what you just said to me.
Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court is a Mark Twain novel. And in it, he goes back in time to King Arthur's Court.
Whoa.
And he and the big way he fools them, spoiler alert, that he there's a eclipse that's coming, and he's like tells everyone, I'm gonna block out the sun.
Yeah.
And he knows the eclipse is coming, and I will not bring the sun back unless you free me or whatever. And it's like a plot twist. It's like a plot point in that
plot
story,
twist. Dude.
And
they kind of
did that when they make Martin Lawrence made like Black Knight or whatever is kind of a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really was not expecting the show to start off
also
with this
a kid
story.
In King Arthur's Court.
A kid in King Arthur's Court.
Kind of the same thing. Anybody getting time traveled?
It all starts with Mark Twain, like many things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that's why I didn't see the eclipse, because that story's bullshit. No. I'm sure it's a perfectly fine book. I've never actually read the book. There's just like a terrible TV movie version of it when I was a kid.
Sure. Oh, that's awesome. Oh.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I feel like this is a good time to go into product review, since we just started right off the bat with Mark Twain. Sean, what are you firing up today?
Okay. So, first of all, I just want to throw a shout out to Herbarium, which is a dispensary here in Los Angeles on La Brea and Santa Monica, essentially. You hear that super cool Target Best Buy combo? Anyway. They have an amazing selection
That's the Target, which never has anything in it.
That's an empty Target.
Yeah, because it's just constantly everything sold out.
Because people are... It's a packed Target.
It's ravenous.
It's a ravenous Target. It's a great Target. Anyway, at Herbarium, they have a fantastic selection of vape cartridges. And there have been a few times that I've gone to some dispensaries and I've been like, hey, let me check out your selection of cartridges that are one-to-one. And I get like two things.
Okay.
Two options. Maybe two cartridges and one disposable. And at Herbarium, dude must have pulled down like 12 boxes. And I was like, wow. So... I made a choice for this one-to-one Tycoon because my bud tender was like, Tycoon's about to take over the industry. And I'm like,
well, that's
no
a strong
way.
Statement.
It's a strong statement. It's a bold statement. But I have good feelings because this is delicious. So this is Tycoon's Midnight one-to-one. It's a sativa, even though it's called Midnight, but it is a day and night. And here, check that out.
It's a nice blue box.
It's a nice blue box. It's a pleasant blue box. It's a day and nighttime strain with balanced and focused effects.
Repair the world is their tagline. Mm-hmm. That's a strong statement.
Yeah. Midnight can be beneficial to those looking for relief from anxiety, depression, fibromyalgia, muscle.
Oh, that's a muscle.
Pain,
yeah. That's a
PTSD,
nervous system
and
thing.
Tremors.
The movie. With Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, the Kevin Bacon vehicle.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh no, it's on TNT, then don't worry.
You're like, if you're worried about tremors,
yeah,
probably worry. Shouldn't make this... a joke about people that actually have tremors, but still,
no, okay.
That movie is actually an enjoyable film. It's kind of
cult
a cult classic. I enjoy it.
It's a cult classic. And then they just went nuts.
Fred
and there's
Ward.
Like a lot of them. And Fred Ward has stayed.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon bailed.
No. Fred Ward was only in the second one after Kevin Bacon bailed.
It kind of Police Academy'd where Steve Guttenberg was like, I'm not going to keep doing these.
No.
And then all the third rate, like.
But Dad from.
Michael Gross.
Yeah, from Family Ties.
Yep. He was married to Reba McEntire
in
that movie.
Yeah, that song. did she write a song about him? No, that's Alanis Morissette and Dave Coulier. All right, never mind.
I don't think they had a sexual relationship, as far as I know.
Who? Reba McEntire?
They were married in the movie.
Oh,
they
dude,
weren't married
I
in
went
real
to
real
life. I thought they were married in real life.
Oh, man, that would have been rad.
Man. If only, right?
If,
missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, Michael.
Shoof.
Shoof. But this looks groovy. So it's just pretty mellow,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to last week when you smoked the...
the Kavi Cone last week.
The Kavi Cone, which has 500 milligrams.
I don't think that was even
joint.
Last week. We're doing that thing again where right.
We've lost track of time. Well, I'm trying to do it from the perspective of the people listening.
Sure, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, you're right. Next week. Oh,
that
no.
Happened yet.
Oh, no.
You're talking about the future.
Oh, and back to the future.
Back to the future.
Michael Gross. Family
Gross.
Ties. Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
You're amazing. You figured this all out already.
Yes. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan Rickman.
Oh, man.
Now it's just like, because we talked about Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's got to be pretty quick to Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's warn kids about the dangers of everything that's happening right now.
Okay.
And then I'm going to try to Alan Rickman.
You're gonna do 6 degrees of Alan Rickman?
Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon, Alan Rickman.
Well, but can't you go directly to Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman and Die Hard and Bruce Willis and Kevin Bacon in Armageddon? No, that was Apollo 13.
No.
I'm thinking of. I was thinking the guy's getting shot into space.
Yeah, but Bruce Willis is.
Bruce Willis had to do a movie with Kevin Bacon.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
He has to have.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't think of one. Not right now.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon was in Footloose.
Oh man, if you're going to Footloose, Jesus. You got to go to A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men is a good one because it's got Tom Cruise and it's got all those people, all the other people in it.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Alan Rickman's the harder side of that, but none of the Harry Potter movies. I don't know. We're going to have to do this at the break. We won't do this on the air. I don't even remember what PSA I picked.
Let's find out.
Let's find out. All right, time for a little public service announcement.
Yuck! Oh, come on! Don't knock it till you try it. Put a little on your plate. Don't make a face before you taste it. Some kids think it's great. Why don't you try a smorgasbord dinner? Which means a smidgen of this and a smidgen of that. Don't knock it till you try it. Eating can be fun. With little bites of different things instead of lots of one. Don't quibble till you nibble. A dabble or a dibble of everything that's on your plate. And then go back and eat the things you like again.
Oh, God, that's why we're so obese in this country. Go back and eat more.
Man, what was that a PSA about?
That, don't knock it till you try it.
Don't not eat?
No, don't knock it till you try it. So, like, you should try it. Try things.
But how is that? Okay. So.
I mean, but you could also say, like, hey, don't knock it till you try it. Have you tried this new cocaine?
You know what? Maybe it's my fault because I think of a PSA as, like, a warning about something. And that wasn't really warning me about anything. It was just telling me to eat food.
Well, I mean...
Was I supposed to interpret that in a different way?
No, I don't think so. I think you were on. I think you nailed it, Sean. But a lot of the food PSAs are clearly by like the Nutrition Council or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Don't draw on your food from next week, last week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks. Yeah, but they're all from the same thing and the same animators, the same stuff.
And that's just like they're really. At the back of them is the original pyramid scheme.
Are you calling the food pyramid a pyramid scheme?
Yeah, dude. It's a pyramid scheme, man.
I mean, literally, I guess it is. It's a scheme of...
You know, they knew what they were doing at the top when they brought us that.
But they redid the food pyramid.
Can you tell me anything about it right now? Like, I'm drawing the a food triangle pyramid? On a pad, like what's in it? Like what's the top triangle?
The top triangle is the things you eat the fewest, right?
Right. So that's sugars, that's like calories, sweets and stuff. And then in the middle here,
that's
two, right?
Tires, tires and acid. I think it's
LSD,
protein.
Proteins and carbs, right? Carbohydrates,
starches. Yeah.
And then the last three?
Fruits
and vegetables and dairy.
Dairy, I feel like, is in the middle.
Dairy is
And starches are at the bottom.
How many are there? One, two, three.
I don't know how many there are.
See? You don't know anything about it.
Where's alcohol?
Booze is just like it's a Venn diagram. And booze
just
is
all
like
around
the
whole thing.
Spheres around the whole
But they redid the food pyramid a couple years ago because it was too they were like your people are eating too much.
What's happening, yeah.
Too much starch.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And not enough fruits and vegetables.
I wish I could just eat starch all day.
But America like America does that. I mean if America followed the original one, it would be healthier, but America's just like, oh, it's cheese and then there's Hostess.
Yeah.
And then Taco Bell. That's the food pyramid. It's those are the three pillars.
Oh man, Meat Group. Do you remember
and bacon.
In
bacon.
The movie where they find Brendan Fraser as a caveman.
Encino Man. Okay.
Pauly Shore's
that's
character
a deep cut, but sure.
Is making up his own periodic table of foodiments. No.
making up his own food pyramid?
Yeah.
That's a stoner character, right?
That's a stoner character, yeah. For sure.
We should definitely do our own food pyramid.
We should do our own food
is
pyramid.
Is that we need a munchies right. pyramid?
A pyramid of munchies. Yeah.
I mean, I think the base of that would be like the thing you have most often would be like Taco Bell or something, right?
Well, I think you have like the fast food and then like snacks, like sweet or salty savory snacks, like a potato
chips
and pretzels. And then you've got your candies, like fruity candy, chocolates are in there.
Right.
But I think you keep those separate.
Well, that's not a pyramid then. That's just two columns.
But they're at the top, and then you have chips and pretzels in the center.
I don't really. My sweet tooth does not get activated as much as my savory tooth.
Yeah, your savory tooth is off though.
My savory tooth is very substantial.
Oh man, let's take a break.
Let's take a little break here, and we're gonna come back with Diggy.
We'll be right back. Hey.
We are back on the Way Highway, and I'm not going to lie, over the break, we're trying to get from Alan Rickman to Kevin Bacon in one step.
Yep.
And there has to be a way.
I forgot what I was doing. For some reason, I got really fixated on Bruce Willis. And then I thought I was trying to get Kevin Bacon and Bruce Willis, and then I was like, oh, so it's Alan Rickman and Bruce Willis, and I completely forgot about Kevin Bacon entirely, and that's not good because it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right. Well, Alan Rickman and Bruce Willis is just Die Hard.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But we're very excited to have a guest who is probably not going to help us with this process, but has very many other important good things to say.
I'm not sure about that.
Hey,
Dickie Drysdale.
Here via Scotland and Toronto.
The one, the only.
The one, the only.
Nicki Minaj.
Hello. How are you, Dickie?
I'm good. How are
good.
You?
Good. Thank you so much for being on the Way Highway.
Yeah. And finally. And we finally. Yeah. You are a Canadian.
I mean, I'm a Canadian, and I'm British and Canadian. Yeah.
You're British and Canadian. Yeah. Where were you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Scotland.
Oh, okay.
Just north of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. So you just go from festival town to festival town.
Basically, yeah.
Did you go to the festival when you were growing up there?
I mean,
is it hard to avoid?
It's impossible to avoid. If you grew up in Edinburgh, the Fringe Festival and like the Edinburgh Festival is a part of your life.
Yeah,
it just was.
Yeah,
and is. Yeah. It still is, yeah.
Is it, have you been back?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
For the festival?
Yeah, I've, like the last 5 years, I go back every August.
Oh, man.
I try and get back for at least a small part of it.
So is it now just like so crazy big?
So if when it comes to the Edinburgh the Fringe Festival, I think the population goes from 700,000 to 1.4 million.
Oh, wow.
Just for that month.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you do the Fringe Festival here.
I do.
That's how Dickie and
I
know each other.
That's how you guys know each other.
Exactly.
It's so funny that you're like, finally, because like there's no
on my way here, I was thinking about that night that we spent on the balcony.
Yeah.
And you were teaching me improv.
Right.
And I was
right.
like, yeah, we're gonna do this on stage.
Yeah. And here we are.
Mean, now we're, yeah.
It's almost a stage.
I mean, it's basically the same thing,
it's basically
right?
The same thing.
All the world's a stage.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's crazy to like know someone for 3 weeks out of the year in June, but for eight years.
Yeah.
But for like 8 years.
8 years. It's like a
summer camp kind of.
For me, it is. I get so excited about it, but I come here and visit, right? Mm. Everyone else is just another fucking month. I'm like, yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and when you live here, you're like, oh, right, traffic is going to be worse in that area. Like, it's like when you live here and you have to know when the marathon is, because if you don't pay attention and you try to drive somewhere, you're like, oh, I'm screwed.
I just had that same problem in Toronto before I left.
Yeah.
I had the Toronto Marathon. I was late for work.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Candace.
Marathon and Raptors.
You guys were briefly talking about the blood moon that happened.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the Raptors logo?
Yes, it's the.
It's a round red.
Yeah.
That's the blood. I think that.
Ah.
Yeah, weird reference, but I thought about the Raptors logo as soon as you were talking about blood moons.
There you go.
I think the heavens have spoken. How will the Raps go?
Are you, did you like start doing the LA Fringe Festival because of your Edinburgh Fringe history?
So I was in Australia. I was traveling. It was after I left university and I was just, you know, bumming around. I was in Australia and I met up with a Scottish pal. And I said to her, I was like, going to Los Angeles next. It was like just, you know, a trip around the world, yada, yada. And she introduced me to one of her friends who was also Scottish. And she had just done the Adelaide Fringe. And we were just getting drunk in Melbourne one night. And she's like, oh, I'm going to the LA Fringe, like the Hollywood Fringe. You should. Can you be there in a month? And I was like, well, yeah, I was going to go there in two, but sure. And I changed my flight. It was like a whole deal. Like you can move your flights for free. So I moved it to a month earlier and just essentially appeared in Hollywood and knocked on a door. And I said, I'm here to see this person. They said that the Fringe is going on here. I'm from Edinburgh. And a lovely gentleman called Ben Hill, the festival director, waltzed up to me and said, you must be Dickie, and the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, that's so cool.
8 years. Yeah.
8 years.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, it's. I think, like, in you know, it's important to sort of create your own traditions versus, because, you know, a lot of times it's like, all right, well, there's holidays and there's things like that. But, like, in my opinion, at least, like, the things that you sort of randomly start doing that you just do for a long time start getting more value than the things that society's like, we celebrate this day, this, then, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm still baffled as why they keep inviting me back. So.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
I think I know why, Dickie.
I know, because I'm phenomenal.
Yes.
do you see a lot of the shows?
It's hard. I mean, Sean can attest to this. Like, we're always working. And apart from right now.
It's
hard to see shows because you've got 400 shows.
Yeah.
And everyone's constantly trying to get you to go to the shows, and it's quite exhausting. You want to support, but there's not enough time in the day to do everything. And the time that you get off, you either want to relax. And you do catch shows, again, it's difficult. You know?
People ask me while I'm bartending if I can see a show that night, and I'm like, I'm working.
Yeah.
You see what
Although,
I'm
to
doing.
Be fair, you did do a show on Saturday, and you were bartending up until like 5 minutes before our show.
Yeah, but I was just jumping behind a bar to help someone. Because if there's a bar that I can just jump behind to help people, I'll do that. I'd rather be that than a bartender.
When was that? Last night?
Saturday night. Yeah, I just needed to help with, you know, one pop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was always the cool thing about having IO West and being a bartender at IO West and being just at IO West hanging out. Because if there was only one other bartender working and an unexpected, like, big rush would happen, they'd be like, hey, can you help me for a minute? And then you're just bartending. You're like the celebrity bartender.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, it's like when they're like, hey, we need someone for the show, and you're bartending and there's another bartender, you're like, yeah, I'll go play.
That too.
I know.
That too. That
must have happened. Yeah,
that's like.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, shit, we only have two people? Grab one of the bartenders.
Yeah. That's like, Yeah, there you go. That's like it being like at a baseball game or whatever, and you're like, you know, maybe they'll call me on the field. I'll get to play.
Could you imagine? That's happened in sports, but not the way you're thinking, like coach of the team.
I would like to know the way.
I don't think anybody in the stands has ever. Oh, there was a hockey thing that just happened, and I think it was a guy that got called in to play goalie because, like, somehow in a game, a few goalies, like, got hurt. And so, like, their starting goalie and their backup and then their third string goalie also all couldn't start a game. So they were like, who else do we have on our list? And it was just this guy.
It was a local. Yeah.
It was a
that
local.
Was last year.
Yeah.
You're Canadian. You
that's
probably know.
Super Canadian.
Right.
Buddy over there.
Yeah. Just grab that guy.
It was the last. I think it was the last game of the season for a team that was out of contention. And they literally, like, all their goalies were injured.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who played in the local club team.
Yeah.
Who was a goalie, and he was like 35 or 37 or something like that.
They just called him at
and
work.
They called him up, and he was like, "You guys are fucking with me." But they brought him on, and he played one game, and the guy was like, "I played an NHL game."
I think he
That's
won
it.
The game too.
Yeah, they won.
There was this viral video of like it was tennis, and it was a women's double, and I think it was televised, so it was quite a serious game, but not very serious. Because then there was this older gentleman in the crowd that was chirping them, like in a jovial way, like not like being mean. And so they stopped the game, and one of the like female tennis players just went, "Okay, then, come here." And in front of like a whole crowd on live televised, they got him to come down, and then they put him in a skirt, white skirt, shirt, and he was quite a large man, and then told him to play.
Whoa.
And hilarity and shit.
Yeah,
wow.
Sure. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Also, wear this adorable outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine he didn't do very well.
No.
No, he was terrible.
That's so funny.
He didn't speak for the rest of the game.
Oh,
sure,
man.
Sure, yeah. There's a, big drop-off between professional athlete and person who's just there to watch and heckle in sort of terms
I
of
mean,
like
yeah,
town,
slight,
right?
Slight drop off.
Could you imagine being dunked on? Have you ever been dunked on? I've been dunked on.
Do you mean, in like a pickup game?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been dunked on. It's very disheartening.
I got dunked on at like a basketball camp that I went to in high school. I was in Tennessee and I got dunked on.
Basketball camp.
Yeah, okay. Basketball camp.
How did that go?
For me, not great.
I was going to say, you probably, as much as Sean talks about his basketball career, which is never, I think we could probably.
Yeah, okay.
No, like, you know, ankles broken, not literally, figuratively, because people would.
Because you did eventually break your foot.
I did
softball,
but that was totally different.
Literally,
okay. I mean, broken ankles. Like dudes would make me fall over with crossovers. I'd be like,
it's
fall over. I was a meme, but luckily there wasn't that. That didn't exist.
There was
yet.
No.
Or I would
no
have
YouTube.
Been a meme. I would have been a meme.
It's right. It's a very. Humbling moment when you hit your wall in like a sport and you realize that you're like, this is as good as I'm going to get at this.
Yeah,
and it's not as good as a lot of these other people.
No. Yeah. There's not enough hours in the day that I could practice doing this to make me any better.
And that's
at
why
it.
I gave up sport 15 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sucks.
Did you play anything when you were younger?
I played rugby.
Oh, sure.
Oh, speaking of breaking ankles.
Yeah, right. Breaking everything.
Yeah, sure.
I have, like, my lower two vertebrae are fused from scar tissue now. So that's fun.
That seems like a good reason to stop playing.
Oh. Thanks to cannabis, it's a little better now.
Hey.
Bringing it back around.
Bringing it back around. In Canada,
you guys are the
Wild West there now, huh?
It's great.
It's legal all over.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's like I mentioned when we were chatting earlier that it's, I mean, smoking a cigarette is more frowned upon than smoking a joint in the street now.
Sure.
Right.
But I feel like, because I've visited Canada a few times, and once was in high school, so not then, but then comedy. We did a comedy show.
We did in Montreal.
Years ago. But smoking cigarettes, like, there always had been, like, you want this pack of cigarettes? There's a picture of rotting lungs on
it. Oh, yeah.
Good
yeah.
luck. Uh-huh. So that's
amazing. They try and offend you. I mean, the sad thing is no one really looks at that
right,
anymore.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, look, I've got this one. No, me too. It's like playing cards. Like,
right.
Right.
Which one have you got?
Right.
That's super gross.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, like, I get, you know, at least now with the pens and all the kind of stuff here, like, it doesn't the smoke doesn't travel in the same way when you're doing the vapor
true.
And the cartridges and that stuff. So
I haven't actually smoked weed in, I think, over a year, I think, come to think of it. I haven't actually, like, hit a pipe or smoked a joint. It's always been vaporizers or tinctures. Or
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of edibles, but, like, it's always something. And, yeah.
I hear that. And the thing about it is when you do, I feel like it gets me so much higher now. There's something about, like, smoking a joint is like, oh, crap. And if you...
Like, hits you like a steam train.
Hits me like... Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and the coughing thing is real.
Yeah, the coughing
so
thing
that
is
gets,
real.
You know, your lungs are like...
Gets the blood pumping. Yeah. And all, it's all one big circle.
A few years ago, I went home and I was hanging out with my buddy Skylar, and we smoked a joint of something like he had. So, like, I guess East Coast weed or, like, who knows. But, like, I just got so high because it was, like, a new different experience, a different weed, smoking a joint. And he brought me to an Ultimate Frisbee game, and, like, I couldn't play. I forgot how to play Ultimate Frisbee. And honestly, like, I was trying to, like, I'd stop, and someone would throw me the Frisbee, and I could not catch it. Like, I simply...
Yeah, you gotta pancake it.
It was the most horrible display of, like, I don't know what happened to me, but I got so high, the concept of Ultimate Frisbee was lost on me.
That
sucked.
That's impressive.
It was really impressive.
Yeah, because it's not like chess.
Not like,
it's not a complicated game.
Yeah, it's like catch it and throw it, but I couldn't do either of those things.
Flicking it like...
Yeah, I'd like reach up for it, and it would like bang off my hand, and I'd be like, oh no.
So speaking of Die Hard, weird fact I will leave you with here for a second.
Okay.
Joel Silver, the producer who produced many of the action movies of the 80s, was one of the inventors of Ultimate Frisbee.
What?
Fun fact.
I read a biography. I read a history of Ultimate Frisbee book.
Wow.
Because and it was really entertaining.
Did you buy this book?
I did.
What? Okay.
It was really weird and really entertaining, and I enjoyed it very much. It's just all about it's all drugs and shenanigans. It was the 80s and
it's like
70s and
the metal of,
it could be a Scorsese movie.
Yeah. And on that note, we're gonna play some Familiar Drugs. By I don't even know how to pronounce
Alexis
that correct.
Alexis
on Fire. I didn't know if it was some weird pronunciation. But
I mean, yeah, whatever.
By Alexis on Fire. Are they Canadian?
Alexis on Fire.
All right, and we are going to be right back with Dickie Drysdale.
After these messages, we'll be right.
Welcome back to the Way High Way.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm
to
Justin.
The Way High Way. I'm Sean.
I'm Dickie.
Dickie. Guys, we have really, really important announcement to make.
Oh man.
We solved the Kevin Bacon to Alan Rickman with one person. And it's Gary Oldman.
And I'm glad you guys didn't have to hear it.
Yeah. Everybody's lucky.
Thank you. Thank you. Because Gary Oldman was in JFK with Kevin Bacon, and Gary Oldman was in the Harry Potter stuff.
Franchise.
With Alan Rickman. The Harry Potter franchise.
Oh, God.
That was a close. That was a tribulation, guys.
You're amazing. Right, you guys figured this all out already.
Oh, and he pulls the Alan Rickman out.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Dickie, yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
To the Way Highway.
Thank you for having me.
We learned lots of interesting fringy things.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Canada,
yeah.
You're
I work in barbershops.
You work in barbershops.
Well, yeah, actually, it's a great company. Mm-hmm. I'm repping the t-shirt right now. You can see on the cameras.
There it is.
Barber & Co. Yeah, it started in Vancouver. They have 4 spots out there. And then they just recently started opening up 2 shops now in Toronto. And loving it.
Rad. What's the style of the barbershop? Like, what is
what's on the walls? We're affiliated with a bar.
Okay, right? Great.
So the first one we opened up in Toronto has now a fantastic speakeasy style cocktail bar in the back.
That's cool.
And the one that I'm working in, which is right down in the financial district, is in the basement of this amazing, like, kind of pub, like brew pub, like not brew pub, a pub, and we're in the basement of that. So it's always kind of like a speakeasy vibe. Like,
so do people hang out, when they're done, and they like get a haircut and then chill out?
100%. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is it like open later into the evening?
No, because things might get a little sharp.
People with scissors.
Scissors and straight razors.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, you don't really want to have a party, right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
The guy that cuts my hair here has all these bottles of alcohol but I've never thought to be like, hey, let's have a cocktail while we're doing this. But
Well, that's what we can do. Like,
I think he just does it, which is maybe not legal, but...
I mean, I'm not sure what the U.S. law is, but... Yeah, it's probably not illegal.
Probably not.
Shouldn't be.
Chicago would have laundromat bars, which I always thought were a good idea.
Yeah.
But I've never done a barbershop bar.
There's a place here, and I think if it's still around, in Culver City, called the Blind Barber, which is one of the coolest places. It's got like four, like on a ground level, 4 seats inside a window, and there's a small door at
been
the back.
There. Yeah, that place is rad.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like this beautiful, like, straight up speakeasy bar in the back.
I'm a sucker for a speakeasy.
Give
me a weird, like, I want to enter through a fridge or whatever. Like,
that's good times.
Cool. Yeah, like good times.
Yeah, yeah.
All those bars by those dudes are pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that, though. Yeah. I give me a weird entrance and I'm in.
Yeah, it's like there's a place in Edinburgh. You might not have been there. It's called Panda and Sons. It's just actually got really one of the best bars in the world. And you enter through a bookshelf.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool. And it's actually on the front of it, coincidentally, it's advertised as a barbershop.
That's great.
You go down some stairs and through a bookshelf.
That's rad.
Beautiful bar.
Love it.
In Silver Lake, there's a dispensary that opened in an old bookstore. So when you go in on the street, there are bookshelves, and then there's a guy at a counter, and you show him your information, and he's like, all right. And then he's just like, hit something. And behind you, the bookshelf is opening.
So there's the mechanics involved.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty James Bond, right?
I do like that.
That's really cool.
I'm so on board for that.
Yeah.
I want and maybe I just watched too much Scooby Doo growing up, but I want a bookcase. I don't understand why more, and maybe this, you know, because they get, but like, I always just wanted a secret passage. Yeah. Why do more houses not get built with cool secret passages that you can open in shelves? I guess there's not
That's
much demand for them, but I want one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
And maybe have a portrait with the eye holes that I can, through.
I'm actually surprised that there aren't more dispensaries like that, or maybe I just don't know about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that aren't, like, secret entryway to
like
this.
Like, dispooksaries? No?
No, man.
No? Yeah, come on.
It's like a haunted house dispensary or like an escape room dispensary?
Oh, no, that sounds very...
An escape room would be a disaster. People have to use their brains to get out. That'd be a bad idea.
We just hung out in there.
We could never get out.
We didn't even try to get out.
I love the haunted house dispensary. We're going to talk about that when we get off the air. Because okay. I think that that's a hit.
That sounds terrifying. I mean, on multiple levels.
It's like so great.
It sounds not necessary.
But like haunted house.
But it'd be rad. It'd be cool.
Escape room.
Yeah. I think or like, if it was Halloween like the magic time. Castle, like you went in and it had like magic in there and stuff, you would hang out there.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you got me now.
So we do a game. We do like these little segments, these little fun things. And this is very musically fitting as well because it's closest to your musical style. Sean, what game are we playing today?
We're going
to
play a little game I like to call, and we all call it this, actually.
That's true.
We're going to play Strain or... Is it a strain? So, Dickie, I have here a list of things that it's either going to be a strain of marijuana,
yeah,
right? And for you, I picked, or is this a type? Is this a like a wine? Is this the name of a bottle of wine?
Okay.
So, is it a strain of marijuana or wine?
Okay, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Number one, the fuzz.
The fuzz. Mm. I think that's not as creative as most marijuana strains, so I think wine.
No. That is actually a strain of weed. It's a cross between ChemDog 91 and Appalachia. The fuzz feels warm and cozy all over your body as it tingles with comfort and happiness.
Whoa, slow down there, cowboy.
Oh, the fuzz. Number two, porch pounder. Porch pounder.
Now, in Canada, there's a drink called a porch crawler,
uh-huh,
which is like a lemonade-y summer drink. Yeah. So I'm thinking wine.
That is wine. Yes, wine. Porch pounders are great for tailgate parties because porch pounders, they come in four packs and they're cans. They're cans of red wine, Pinot Noir-based. Juicy berry flavor tastes best slightly chilled.
I need one right now.
You want one of those? Like
I want a porch crawler. That sounds good to me. Yeah, I like lemonade-y refreshing.
I'm gonna go with porch crawler. Number three, Krug.
As in like the
the champagne brand, Krug.
Yeah,
no Krug, man.
Is it spelled differently? How's it spelled?
No, it's Krug. Krug. But doesn't that like Krug? I'm smoking some Krug. I was looking at a bottle of Krug Grand Rosé, which I think Dickie
Rosé all day. Have you seen my tattoo god. On my arm?
So this shit's a blend of 57 wines that were aged between the year 2000 and 2008, and then it was bottled in 2016. The one that I was looking at was $300 a bottle of this. It's just fucking
Look at that, man.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Pink bubbles always.
Oh,
you better get a picture of that.
Pink bubbles all day. Dickie just showed us a tattoo on his arm.
Four champagne flutes.
Two of champagne.
Yeah. Pink bubbles.
Pink bubbles, baby. All right, number four, King's Banner.
King's Banner.
King's Banner.
It feels it's very Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's very Game of Thrones.
Very topical. Congratulations on that.
We worked hard. Thank you.
I know you guys worked hard. It's a wee show. Let's. I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to say. Okay. Say it again. What's it?
King's Banner.
King's Banner. King's Banner. I'm gonna go. Strain.
It is a strain.
Okay.
It's a cross of Bruce Banner number 3 and King Louis.
King Louis.
Louis the 13th. Louis the 13th OG. I was just like, what number is that? And then, like, Henry the 8th got stuck in my head, and I'm like, XIII is an 8. Anyway, I'd just like to point out once again that the Tycoon Midnight 1-to-1 cartridge is delectable, and I do believe what my buttender said. Maybe Tycoon is just about to take over the industry. Number 5, Summer Water.
Summer Water. Summer Water. I'm getting thrown off because it has water in it. Is that a curveball? I mean, I'm trying to read your face.
I got my high poker face on.
I feel summer water.
Summer water.
I don't think that would really sell a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's summer water. Okay, nah, I'm good. I feel like it's a strain.
It is not. It's a wine.
No.
It's a delicious, actually, rosé. Crisp, dry, but with enough acidity to cut through its juicy berry notes. This versatile wine is perfect for kicking back at a barbecue.
Sounds like my Tinder profile.
Yeah.
Number six, stupid fruit.
Summer water.
Stupid fruit. Yeah, give me two summer waters on the rocks. number six, stupid fruits. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Stupid fruit.
Strain.
It is a strain, totally. it's made for the band Slightly Stupid, if you've ever heard that band.
Yeah.
Slightly Stupid.
Yeah.
You have not.
I have heard of Slightly Stupid.
Have you heard of Slightly Stupid?
Yeah.
Great band.
Slightly.
Number seven, Cougar Milk.
Cougar Milk. I mean, come on. That has to be a wine.
It has to be a wine.
Please don't say it's a strain, because that's a great wine.
It's a strain.
What?
With a calm and intimate high cougar milk, it'll leave you feeling warm and collected.
Cougar Milk is a fantastic wine name.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Cougar Milk. But
that sounds
then
like
again,
a spritzy like rosé.
Yeah, like refreshing. Yeah.
It's interesting. I made sure I googled cougar milk and like wine,
I don't want to know what your results are.
Don't Google cougar milk.
Don't do it, you guys.
Or at least don't hit images.
Oh my god.
Don't hit the images.
Maybe that's
button.
Why it's not a wine, because I don't want it associated with. Okay. Number eight, sunburn.
Sunburn. Mm. Sunburn. Ooh, I mean. I've got nothing with that. I'm just going to have to flip a mental coin on that and go strain.
It is a strain.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, it's a sativa dominant hybrid. It's all day sativa, you know, that's great. Any time of day.
I don't want any product called sunburn.
Sunburn?
It's like the least enjoyable thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, sunburn.
Uncomfortable.
Pretty
smoke
bad.
This. Get uncomfortable. Yeah.
You want to hit a sunburn or a groin hit? Ball crusher. That sounds lovely. Thank you.
Okay. Number nine. Fifth leg.
What's that? I feel like it's like a sporting term or something. So it might be associated. I've got some weird things going on in my head right now. I feel a fifth leg. I feel like it might be like some sort of like horse racing term. And I'm going to go like wine.
It is a wine. This is a wine. It's great tasting, like a quirky offshoot of the renowned Margaret River Winery, you know, made with grapes from Western Australian vineyards, is what this says, and I'm reading it. Number 10, frog's piss. Frog's piss.
I'm excited to find out what this actually is. But I feel like this is some like, I feel like I'm gonna say it's the kind of wine that you get out of the back of someone's truck.
Dude, yes, it is a wine. So it's a French red table wine. And this thing I was like, this thing said, the website I was on
it's
was like,
it's like a cell
it's
phone.
French. It's a, like a French table
I
wine.
Like it's some weird Australian wine or something. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, frog's piss.
So it's described as a plonk on this website. And I'm like, this fruity drinkable wine is a plonk. And I'm like, what the hell? So I look up plonk, and apparently plonk is like some British slang for cheaper, inferior wine. So the website I was on was shitting on it. It's a plonk. You know plonk.
Yeah.
This is just frog's piss. Is this terrible?
I mean, if you call it frog's piss, you're going to be like, that doesn't sound good.
You know, a strain of weed.
I want to try this.
I bought a bag of cat piss. Weed.
Okay, thank God you said weed at the end of that.
I bought a hot bag of actual things. He was like, please buy my cat. Blood is just cat piss.
All right,
please,
fine.
Dude, my cat's been pissing in his bag.
Sean, that was an excellent game of... And unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
We got to wrap this bad boy up.
Dickie, thank you so much for being on
our
show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And please remember, as legalization sweeps the country, there are a lot of Americans still locked up for dealing, possessing, or even smoking marijuana. Don't just legalize it. You schedule it, support clemency, get nonviolent drug offenders out of jail.
That is it for us and for Dickie. Thank you for listening to The Way Highway live on Idobe.com or the free Idobe app or subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin Bacon's house.
Yeah. Just go to the Bakeman's. If you like what you heard, tell everyone you know and follow us on Twitter at The Way Highway or Instagram at Way Highway.
You can also find Sean at Sean Cowie, me, Justin underscore Ware. And if you want to find Dickie on there somewhere.
Where are you?
Minaj.
At
Dickie Minaj.
Underscore Minaj.
Boom.
Love it. Sending a shout out to our composer, Gregory Jenkins, our executive producer at Eskadigital.com Productions. Most of all, thank you for listening.
And remember, if you want to ride high, always take The Way Highway.
See you next week.
Bye.